Speak of the Devil.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm here, Aiden O'Connell, with
Colin Kelly
and Hayden Rebellion.
This is the premiere of season two.
Season two. We've been, Speak of the Devil.
We've been renewed by Miss Tsuji for another season. This is quarter three now, and this season will be about the Oscars, which are this Sunday on
kind of whole theme and everything.
February 24th. So we will be watching them. We've already watched a lot of the movies.
Yeah.
Not all of them, because some of them are hard to access.
Yeah.
True.
But we'll talk about the movies a little bit later.
Yeah, more specifically, a lot of the film nominated, like best film nominations.
That's sort of what we're centering around.
There's like 52.
We do want to talk about some of the others, like best director. I think we have some opinions on stuff like that, but we haven't watched every movie because I think Colin said it was something like 52 movies got nominated for stuff.
Yeah.
So watching 52 movies in like a few weeks.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's not easy. So
it's a lot to handle there.
We watched six, I think.
Yeah, I think it was
six. Which is, you know, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
But I think one of the, something that we have to talk about when we're talking about the 91st Academy Awards is Kevin Hart.
Yeah, the Kevin Hart situation, how he is not going to be hosting.
Yeah, so he was originally supposed to host it, and then a few tweets of his came out that were homophobic, some jokes too, because he's a stand-up comedian, of course. And so now he's not hosting them. He decided on January 9th that he would not be hosting them. Yeah, and Ellen DeGeneres, I thought this was super interesting. She came out in support of him and like defended him.
Yeah, there's actually a few different people. Nick Cannon, I think, was one too.
Mm-hmm. And I think Ellen in particular garnered a lot of backlash because obviously of her status in the gay community.
Right.
But she's also a stand-up comedian, so I think she must understand sort of what he's going through. And like we did mid-90s last season. If you haven't listened to that podcast, check it out.
Yeah, and that was a very
homophobic sort of, not necessarily homophobic, but
homophobic,
realistic.
Yes,
realistic for that time.
And so one of the things Jonah Hill talked about in an interview was sort of this current state of comedy and media, and how it's super hard to walk that fine line of funny and not offensive. And how that's even sort of pushed him away from comedy. And so now you see him doing all of these very serious movies.
Especially in this day and age where it just, it's become more and more, that line has become more and more blurred.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
So, and I think what's so interesting, and like the movie mid-90s, you've got things that might not be considered offensive now, but they could be considered offensive in the future. And so some might argue that they're always offensive, but not everybody knows that yet, and so you get stuff like this. And I just think that's super interesting. Kevin Hart, he's not the only one that this has happened to. Obviously, we know a ton of examples.
Yeah, especially Kyler Murray.
Yes.
He's one of the big ones.
Now. Yeah, that was this year. So after Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray won the Heisman Trophy, some tweets from when he was 14 and 15 years old that were homophobic came to light. And I think another sports-related example that I think is super interesting is before the 2018 NFL draft, some racist tweets put out by NFL prospect, I guess you could call him, Josh Allen surfaced. And a lot of people believe that like a team or another player or like a media group put out, like surfaced these tweets intentionally to affect his draft stock. And so he ended up dropping a few places, and a lot of people think that it's because of this.
Yeah.
Technology, man. It's a new era.
It really is. It's the Wild West. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Yeah, it's just so much like new technology is being developed, and people don't really know how it's going to interact with our world. I think we have to talk about the Me Too movement in this because it's super relevant right now.
Yeah, it basically goes hand in hand with this.
Yeah. This isn't exactly the same, but I think it's got a lot of similarities. And this sort of social justice warrior, I didn't want to use that phrase because some people think there's a stigma to it.
Yeah.
But this sort of movement is becoming like more and more problematic in the way that it just, it's starting to scare celebrities. And I think that's sort of shows in this Oscars is after Kevin Hart, the Academy Awards, they tried to find other candidates, but nobody stepped up.
They just left it hostless.
I think there's like an issue with celebrities now where they're afraid to have like a spotlight this big.
But you can't really blame them either.
No, you can't.
Celebrities, that's kind of their status quo. That's their living. It's literally their living, and that's how they survive.
Exactly, but I think this issue...
Describe it.
They're just normal people.
So. Yeah.
Exactly, and this issue is becoming worse and worse for famous people. And it's like, if nobody wants to host the Oscars, like, what's next? Nobody's starring in movies. It's beside the point. But so,
let's not get too crazy here.
This year, we've got no host for the 91st Annual Academy Awards.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
And first one, no host, too.
This is the second one, actually.
Oh, second one?
Yeah, so...
Wait, this is the second one without a host?
Yes, second.
Yeah, so...
When
the 61st Academy Awards, there was no host either.
I did not know
this. And there was no really reason like this. That there was no host, like there was no firing, they just didn't do one, and and it went relatively well.
I'm sure it'll be fine either way.
I think it will too. You just
it's the Oscars. They're gonna
just get a bunch of different personalities.
Yeah,
I wish he was.
So, yeah, that's kind of a bummer, but we'll survive. I think.
Yeah, it's whatever.
And then, now that we've talked about sort of the more real, sad, you know, not sad, but sort of gritty stuff.
Yeah.
You guys want to talk about the nominations?
Sure. Do you want me to just list them all off? The best film, like the last.
Yeah, so best picture
category
is what we focused on just because we couldn't watch every movie, and
this is
the
best we got
category. So
Do you want me to just, because I don't know if I want to say all the producers, because there's a lot for each one, so
you
I'll
just
say
do
directors.
Directors, yeah.
Okay. So we have Black Panther, directed by Ryan Coogler. Black Klansman, directed by Spike Lee. Bohemian Rhapsody, directed by Ryan Singer and Dexter Fletcher. What? The Favorite, directed by Yorgos Lanthimos.
Great job.
Thank you. Green Book,
that's a hard one,
directed by Peter Farrelly. Roma, directed by Alfonso Cuarón, I believe that's how it's pronounced. And A Star is Born, directed by Bradley Cooper. Oh, wait, no, there's also Vice. Vice, directed by Adam McKay.
There you go. And by the way, speaking of Green Book, you just remind me of, so I don't know if you guys know this, but one of the writers of the screenplay for Green Book was Nick Vallelonga, who's the brother of the main character in Green Book, who's Tony.
Oh,
Vallelonga.
I didn't even know that.
So it's a true story, which we knew, but yeah, the writer is the brother of the main character, which I thought was super interesting.
That's crazy.
He's a director. He's had a few movies. But while I was doing research, I found out Nick Vallelonga has also had a history with this whole Kevin Hart thing, where in 2015, a bunch of his... he tweeted a bunch of things that were Islamophobic, and he got a similar backlash, so...
Huh.
Yep.
Did he do a self-insert in the movie or something?
Maybe.
Right,
he honestly might have.
He probably did.
Maybe
just
even as like an extra or something.
Yeah.
Directors love to do that.
Yeah.
So
it's
that
like a little
cool
Easter egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely
have
funny
to watch
things.
It again. It's a very funny movie. So, do you guys want to talk about some predictions?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
So should we start at Best Director, maybe?
Well, I thought we were just going to go right into
We can do Best Picture, and then we can expand.
Okay.
I mean, what's the projected one again? Roma?
Roma's projected to win.
And you're the only one who has watched this.
Yeah.
It's so far out of all three of us.
So I guess I should talk about
it. Yeah, I know, right? Because we don't know what to say.
I really liked it. It wasn't my favorite movie, because I think we'll talk about favorite movies later.
Yeah.
I thought it was really a different story that had never really been told before. It's actually, if it wins, it'll be the first foreign film to win Best Picture. And so this movie takes place in Mexico. I can't remember exactly the time period. It's like probably like the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it probably says somewhere. It's been a while since I watched it. And it's just a really empowering story about this this young maid who becomes pregnant. And this man that impregnated her just abandons her. And sort of her relationship with this family that she works for, which I think is like a really like just beautiful relationship that's really interesting. and like says a lot about family and what it means. And I really liked it. It was black and white, which is also
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about Roma specifically. I wish we were going to plan out a thing where each of us would have at least, like, one of us have seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Collectively, we would have seen every movie. But the only two we didn't get around to were Vice and The Favorite.
Yeah, because those both came out very recently, and I don't think they're in theaters around here anymore. So
yeah, they're difficult.
So they're in that weird purgatory between theaters and home.
Well, Roma is on Netflix, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's just easy access.
Yeah.
Roma, if it wins, will be the first Netflix original film to be...
That is crazy.
To win an Oscar. Yeah, it's super impressive, especially because we talked about this a little bit with the Bird Box podcast. Netflix movies, like, they're getting a lot better.
Yeah.
So
they're developing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. We'll get to favorites later, but I think Black Panther is very popular. A very popular choice for the best picture. Is this going to be the first superhero movie that would make best film?
I think it is. It's also one of the first sci-fi movies in general.
What is that noise?
It's in the hallway.
All right, somebody's passing by in the hall. Yeah, probably. Whatever, we go with it.
Yeah, so Black Panther, I loved it. I watched it when it came out, and then I watched it again a few days ago.
Yeah, you watched it twice. We've all seen it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The biggest fan.
Yeah.
The more I watch it, this actually might be the third time.
I think it's
really
good, but...
No, I definitely didn't dislike it.
I don't think it's an Oscar.
It's really interesting because... Like, there are two completely different ways of looking at it, and I think I saw that, like, sort of Oscar way when I rewatched it, where initially you watch it, you see this good but not amazing superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are certainly better superhero movies. I don't know. Everybody's got their own favorite. I really like Spider-Man Homecoming and Spider-Verse.
Both of those.
There have been a lot of... the Nolan Batman movies are great, too. There have been a lot of great superhero movies, and this is a good one, but not, like, it doesn't really stand out that much, other than having what I would call the best villain since Nolan's Joker, Heath Ledger.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't want to get too in-depth about this, because it is about all other movies, but I think Killmonger was a great villain, and then what's-his-face, the other guy.
T'Challa.
There's, like, a second villain that
didn't... Oh, Claw.
Was that his name?
You're the British guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was kind of unnecessary, I thought. But that was just
It was interesting because, like, you didn't expect Killmonger. Like, for the first, 45 minutes, you didn't expect Killmonger to be the main villain.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't always see it as an Oscar movie. I just always see it as...
So, here's my argument talk about a lot of other movies. It's really... If I were asked to summarize it, I wouldn't even include anything about, like, superheroes. Like, it's about a young man who becomes king after his father dies in Captain America Civil War, a king of this African country that is in a very unique position, and he has to deal with a lot.
Sorry, you're shaking the microphone a little bit. That's why I was trying to make a little gesture to have you stop it. It's okay. I'm just not sure if that's going to pick up on the audio.
Very smooth gesture.
Keep going. I don't know what to do. Help.
We'll see if we have to scrap this.
Lord,
I'm
please
joking,
don't say that.
Don't want to jinx it. But it's about this newly crowned king that has to sort of figure out for himself what Wakanda is going to be in the future. And it's really interesting how... You've got all these different characters, like Nakia and Killmonger and Wakabi, and they all have these different philosophies, and their relationships with T'Challa, like, become very interesting because they all sort of want Wakanda to go in this different direction,
he has to
like change and grow as a king, and sort of decide what that future will be. And I also think it's really interesting. There are a lot of movies about black people.
Mm-hmm. In this selection.
Black Klansman, Green Book, and this have themes that are strongly related
black
to...
Klansman.
It's Black History Month. So.
I mean, two of them have the word black in the name.
True.
So, and then this one, they
the
all
answers.
Sort of talk about something different, which I think is cool. And this one sort of talks about imperialism in a way. It uses the phrase colonizer or a colony multiple times. And it sort of talks about this history of having white people colonize these African countries, but now you have this secret African country that essentially has the power to take over the world because of this resource of vibranium. And I just think that's really interesting. Let's talk about the next one.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Black Klansman?
Yeah, let's do it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Black Klansman, I think, is going to be one of the more underrated movies
it's
here.
It's projected second or third to win.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
well
it's
then.
Roma.
I don't think
Never
it's going
to
win, but I really liked it.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good movie, I thought.
It was really good, but it wasn't like... It's like a great movie, and I think Spike Lee is a great director.
Spike Lee's amazing.
I think... Like, I personally think he's sort of my choice for best director.
I would agree with that, yeah.
I think out of the selection this year, this movie definitely deserves it, and his work deserves it.
Well, because I think not only did he take such, like, a crazy issue
mm-hmm.
and bring it to life in, like, a way that no one's ever done before,
mm-hmm.
but he also kind of made it humorous, yet, like, very serious and profound at the same time.
Yeah, it's a great blend of those things, and I think that's a really good point. But Black Klansman, I think, because it doesn't have that, like, Oscar feel to it.
No,
it's Roma and Green Book do.
Yeah. And a lot of these movies have that feel, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's been a single film this year that really just, like, wowed me.
Yeah, I agree with that. Everyone had their problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least, like, out of this selection. I mean, this is a good selection for this year,
mm-hmm.
in general. I haven't seen every single one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there was no movie where, like, I was completely, like, swept away by my viewing experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Same.
What's the next one?
I mean, the next one that we watched all together was A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
And
we watched that last night,
We literally just watched that.
Yeah.
See, that to me felt more like an Oscar movie.
That one felt like an Oscar movie.
Yeah.
It's, I didn't think it was the best movie out of all these.
Storytelling wasn't
But,
crazy.
Yeah, the storytelling, there were a few parts of it that bothered me. I felt like it introduced a lot of interesting issues and dynamics and ideas, and then it just didn't really touch upon them.
Yeah, it was kind of bland, if you want me to be honest. Or at least, it didn't keep me interested.
The one thing that I think is really interesting is I think... the movie just does a really great job portraying this relationship between Jack and Allie. So
another good thing too is like the cinematography in this movie was really exceptional.
I was gonna mention that. It was so good.
It was like very, very pretty.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, and this is Bradley Cooper's directorial debut. It wasn't distinct. You know?
Yeah, you did mention this.
Like it was very good, but it wasn't like unique, I guess, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
You know, it's a good thing when I often find myself like, wow, that's a cool shot, instead of actually focusing on the movie.
Yeah.
I like the one where it was like the shot next to the bus, and there's the sunset, and it was like a reflection on the bus. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
that was,
yes, I do.
That was
a lot of cool
so
framing,
good.
Like that.
Yeah,
so, like,
I
there'd be a
I
mirror in
that.
The background, and it'd line up perfectly with the person they were
mm-hmm.
talking to. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that.
Like that scene at the end in the garage where he puts his hat on the...
Yeah,
I love that.
Or when
on that chest.
His brother was backing out from the driveway, and like you guys were like, "Why did they even show that part of the scene?" And then
his eyes were all teared up. And
symbolism,
I think
man.
This movie's it's got 3 nominations for acting. It's got a nomination for lead actor, Bradley Cooper as Jackson Maine, lead actress Lady Gaga as Allie, and supporting actor Sam Elliott as Bobby. And I don't think Sam Elliott or Brad... Although I thought Bradley Cooper and Sam Elliott both did a really good job.
Yeah.
I don't think either of them really have it. But Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I think
she did a good job.
I thought she was amazing. And her singing was great, so...
Yeah.
But there's no real awards for that here.
And she had some nice eyebrows, too.
This is a running joke there.
So...
So next up, we could either talk about Bohemian Rhapsody or Green Book.
You wanna do Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, I liked Green Book better, so I wanna do that one last.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Bohemian Rhapsody was meh.
Yeah, I definitely Hayden didn't even watch this.
I didn't watch it because I don't want to.
I wasn't excited to watch it.
It just doesn't look like a very good movie.
It was like an all right ride if you're not really thinking about it in a quality way. Like, if you're not really trying to focus on the movie itself and just, like, the story, it's
yeah,
all right, even though the story itself is kind of problematic because a lot of it's not true at all.
Yeah, that's the big giveaway there. Like, the story was all right to begin with, but there was a lot of backlash because...
Yeah.
It was about the band Queen, mostly Freddie Mercury. It,
yeah.
Like, I mean, the other characters.
It's like a Freddie Mercury biopic that also includes Queen a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Not gonna lie. It was a lot of it was like, what's the retcon? Is that the right word? I don't think that's the right word. It just completely changed. I guess retcon was totally not the right word. It's completely changed from what it was supposed. What actually happened with Queen. Right, you said like Freddie Mercury started a band before.
Yeah, he was in
Queen.
He was in multiple bands before he joined Queen.
Yeah, in the movie, he just shows up to Queen or whatever they were called before, and they just started singing, and they're like,
and
"You're on the team."
Yeah, it's like this movie starts with Freddie Mercury going out to a random club to see some band that he likes,
mm-hmm.
meeting the girl that he marries, and joining a band in the same night.
All
yeah, bet. There's no way that's real. I'm sorry, that's just not how life works. And then the other thing that... I will start swearing and then we won't be able to post this if I keep talking about this. But
this movie aggravated Aiden.
The other thing about this movie is it's like, oh, everything's... This is basically what happens throughout the whole movie. It's just
mm-hmm.
a cycle of this. Everything's going good, the band's great. Uh-oh, Freddie Mercury is selfish. Some problems start to rise. Oh my god, this one member of the band introduces this idea for an amazing hit song. Everything is good again. Then it happens again.
Then it loops
like,
until...
There's no way that's how it works.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm really glad I didn't see this.
Yeah, like...
well, I think it was kind of like... It was trying to relate it to family, because they're kind of like a
family,
quote-unquote.
They play that up so much.
Yeah, they really did.
So was Bird Box.
Yeah, for sure.
It's supposed to be about family.
And it, yeah, that... It went places.
So...
We could... Do you want to... Stop from...
And then one more thing I want to talk about is the Bryan Singer thing with this movie.
Wait, what?
The director Bryan Singer of Bohemian Rhapsody, he got fired because of rumors of sexual harassment. He's kind of a scumbag, so... but they dropped him like two-thirds of the way through the production of this movie. And it's like, that's never like good for a movie to switch literally the guy that's in charge of the movie.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be the same movie.
His final vision is nowhere near anybody else's.
Yeah, and then you get this just awful movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, but,
I think... I know. Yeah, you know what? I'm not even going to go any farther.
One more thing, though. Rami Malek is nominated for Best Actor.
Is that the guy who played as
Freddie Mercury? And I think
he did a pretty good job, I'm not going
to
lie.
He did good, but I didn't think it was amazing, but I think he's predicted to win this.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, because I think it's just he portrayed Freddie Mercury really,
mm-hmm.
really well.
Yeah.
But, like, as an actor in general, it was eh.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I agree with that. All
right. Yeah, all right. So we'll jump right into Green Book. This was my favorite choice out of all of these. I
really liked it also.
It was just an interesting ride the entire time. Like, the characters I thought were, like, really relatable on both. I mean,
yeah,
not
in separate ways.
Yeah,
sort of,
in separate ways.
But they
like,
created one super relatable character.
And the lead actor.
True.
Objected to win, right?
Viggo Mortensen as Tony Lip. I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. I thought he was great in it. I really liked him. And this story is just.
It was great.
Really interesting, sort
yeah.
of this dynamic between this Italian guy and this black man
from Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. And their passage through passage. It's
yeah,
not Lord of the Rings.
Rite of passage.
their tour through the Deep South.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I really liked Mahershala Ali as Don Shirley specifically. I think he's a super talented actor, and I think his career's just, even though it's already pretty impressive, I think he's got a lot further to go.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's got, he's super talented.
I mean, we also have The Favorite and Vice here that we didn't watch.
Yeah.
Do we have any comments on those that, like...
The Favorite, they both seem super interesting. That's why I'm so not heartbroken, but saddened that I wasn't able to watch them.
See Vice, yeah.
So hopefully we'll be able to watch these at some point. And
before
maybe,
the Oscars.
Yeah.
Maybe not before the Oscars, but before the end of season two. Mm,
yeah. True.
There you go. But Vice is about
Vice President
Dick Cheney. And it just seems like a super interesting movie.
Yeah.
Especially like Sam Rockwell
the
as George W. Bush looks hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And then The Favorite is super different. It's about this relationship between Queen Anne and two like assistants or something. I don't know super little about The Favorite, but I know that it's not projected super high. But it's got Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz were both nominated for supporting actress, which is kind of impressive to get two actresses from the same movie nominated for the same thing.
Yeah, that definitely is.
I noticed a lot of these movies are based off of true stories or like true things in general. I guess Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen, but then like
No Shape of Water this year.
Green Book was literally like the entirety of the story of Tony Lip.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I literally can't remember the other guy's name.
Don Shirley.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You said it like 5 minutes ago.
Those are the only ones, though. Bohemian Rhapsody, Vice, and Green Book, right?
Green Book, Black Klansman.
Definitely is. I don't. Is that?
It said it was based on. I don't want to like quote it because that's. Am I allowed to quote what the movie said at the beginning? It said it's based on some for real shit.
I don't know if you needed to go.
Well, I don't know. That's what I was saying. I'm like, do you want me to?
Oh my god. So
do you want me to?
Nope.
All right, so now that we've done that, we've talked about all the movies, I'm going to list off some categories, and I just want us each to do our prediction.
Okay.
For, like, I'll do best picture, lead actor, lead actress, and director.
You might have to mention the nominations,
I'll read it, too.
Okay.
And then you just tell me which one you think will win and which one you liked the most.
Okay.
Sounds good. Best picture... Black Panther. We already did that one.
Go to the next one.
Just say quickly which one you think will win and which one is your favorite.
Okay. I guess Roma, I'm going to assume, just because it was most projected to win.
Yeah.
And Green Book is my favorite.
Hayden?
I think Green Book's going to win, and I think Black Klansman's my favorite. Well, I know Black Klansman's my favorite.
Yeah, Black Klansman's probably like my second favorite.
I think Green Book will win, and my favorite's probably a tie between Green Book and Black Panther. Lead actor. We've got Christian Bale as Dick Cheney in Vice, Bradley Cooper as Jackson Maine in A Star is Born, Willem Dafoe as something at Eternity's Gate. I don't have notes on that one. Rami Malek as Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody, can't talk, and Viggo Mortensen as Tony Lip in Green Book.
Oh, okay. I mean, my favorite is definitely Tony Lip, Viggo Mortensen. I don't know, that just really resonated with me. I don't really know who I think is going to win, because I've only seen two of them in their respective movies.
You've seen three.
I've seen three?
Yeah, wait. Bohemian Rhapsody, Star Wars,
that's
Born,
right.
Green Book.
Okay. Out of those three.
Because I don't think Christian Bale or Willem Dafoe are going.
Yeah, I guess I'll just say Viggo then.
Yeah. Hayden?
Yeah, I agree with that, but my favorite was probably Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite was Viggo Mortensen, but I think Rami Malek's probably going to win just because... Like, he's a great actor, and even though I didn't think this was his best performance, like, obviously, Mr. Robot's a super good TV show. Check it out, everybody. There's Aiden's irrelevant, unrelated stamp of approval for today's episode.
Can you get a sound effect for that?
Yes. We'll need
make it up.
All right, we'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think Rami Malek's going to win, but I liked Viggo the best.
Okay.
Lead actress. We've got Yalitza Aparicio in Roma, Glenn Close in The Wife, Olivia Colman in The Favorite, Lady Gaga in A Star is Born, and Melissa McCarthy in Can You Ever Forgive Me?
I mean, the only one I've seen is Lady Gaga in A Star is Born, so I'm just going to go for both of them because she was actually...
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
She was very very
good
actress.
I also agree with that. I thought she was incredible the whole time she was on stage. And Yalitza Aparicio, I did see Roma, and I thought she was, like, okay.
Well, there you have it.
Like, I felt like the thing with Roma is it wasn't any one character's
none of them really,
like,
stood
performance,
out.
And it wasn't even, like, the writing. It was just, like, the shots were gorgeous, and the music, and, like, just, like, the production was super impressive. All right, now let's just do director and get sober.
Director, yeah, we're hitting the 30-minute mark
yeah.
here.
Oh, wow. Spike Lee for Black Klansman. Powell Politowski.
Just gonna give applause for Spike Lee there.
For Cold War. Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favorite. Alfonso Cuarón. Don't want to talk about that, like, bio. It's different.
Psycho in that direction.
Yeah, for Roma.
Hey, guys. Hi.
And Adam McKay for Vice. Hello, janitor.
We're recording something right now. Sorry. Friendly neighborhood janitor.
Yeah.
Stop.
All right, so I guess I'll go first. I think Spike Lee was my favorite, but I think Alfonso Cuarón is going to win.
Okay. I just want to go Spike Lee both ways, not going to lie.
No, I agree. I think Spike Lee took kind of a crazy historical, like, issue and all that and just turned it into something that everyone could watch. And enjoy.
It was probably the most enjoyable, Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. Black Panther, just
because. But just because it's a superhero movie,
yeah,
right?
That's just fun to watch.
Yeah.
In general.
All right, I think that's it for today.
Good to go.
We'll
see ya.
We will be
just end it off.
Yeah, I've got my closing.
It's a conclusion.
We'll be watching the Oscars this weekend on February 24th.
Yeah, expect
it. He'll be in New Hampshire, but we're making him watch it somehow, so
I'll figure it out.
Somehow, someway. Expect a reaction podcast, kind.
So,
like that.
Yes, we will have a reaction podcast probably coming out next week, hopefully.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And then the rest of season 2, we've got till April for this quarter, and we've got plenty of movies that we've already
watched.
So,
just talk about them.
You can expect some
bulk recording,
some episodes on these movies in the future. Think that's it.
That's all we gotta say here. All right,
peace.
Adios
out.
Catch you later,
skaters.